Hi, this is Goku from Dragon Ball Z, and you're listening to This Week We Reek.
Goku, it's not This Week We Reek. It's This Week in Geek.
I don't think so, King Kai. I'm pretty sure it's This Week We Reek. Have you ever smelled Mike or Steve?
actually, I have, and I think you're right.
You're listening to This Week We
This
Reek.
This Week We Reek.
I mean, This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and Steve Snowball Sailor on CRNC 90.1 FM, Niagara's new rock.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to the Nerd News Network. And today is Friday, January 30th. 2015. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and holy crap on a cracker, This Week in Geek turns 8 years old tomorrow, or today. I'm not sure which. Either way, we're friggin' old. We're old enough to, maybe ride the teacups at Disneyland? I don't know. Either way, happy anniversary to us. Thank you to everybody who's stuck with us over the years. Our many past hosts who've gone on to other projects, and our future hosts, who I look forward to exploiting you soon. Nah, that's seriously been a great ride. A big thanks to Steve Saylor for co-founding this with me. All the way back at Niagara College, we were the little show that could, that proved we could do anything because we had the dedication, we were geeky, we were nerdy, even won an award for it, and I've actually won a couple web awards from Mixcloud. We were voted the best talk cast back in 2010 and 2011. You should check them out. They're a pretty cool service. So anyway, I guess now that that's out of the way, tomorrow's topic show will be on Bill Murray, and that was me and Andrew Roebuck. We were supposed to have some more people on the show, but unfortunately scheduling just kind of got in the way. But don't worry, it's a good solid hour of content about Mr. Murray. Let me see what else is going on. Also, new shows to announce. I'm going to be bringing back Birdman's Toy Chest probably in about a week or two. And I'm going to be starting a new Counter Monkey-esque show, kind of like Spoony does. And it's going to be called Botched Roll. And I'll be looking at different role-playing games, different systems, and some of my own stupidity that's happened over the years. Let's just say I've saved the day by peeing myself in one particular adventure. And I don't think my GM quite expected that. So anyway, where do we start with today's news roundup? Well, it's time to get this out of the way, because you know what? Someone's going to say, why didn't you cover this? Well, and this kind of ties into something I'd love you guys to call in about. So I got two questions of the week, and I'm going to start doing this hopefully off the top of the show as often as I can remember. So if you call 817-717-7202, here are the questions. Female Ghostbusters, what do you think? And the new Fantastic Four trailer. We're going to talk about both of those in just a minute. So I guess let's talk about the big elephant in the room. That is the Ghostbusters reboot. So it was announced this week that the new Ghostbusters has officially been cast. And we have Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Leslie Jones, and Kate McKinnon. Most of these people have done some stuff on Saturday Night Live, and Melissa McCarthy's had a fairly string of pretty good success at the box office and also on the small screen with Mike and Molly, Gilmore Girls, among other projects. And this is being headed by director Paul Feig, who did Bridesmaids and a couple other movies. And the internet was all a Twitter about this, and I've seen some remarkably asshole-ish comments about this. Like, people are really against it, and I really don't kind of get it. Mostly because just because this new Ghostbusters exists doesn't mean the ones from 84 and 89 don't exist anymore. Nor does the video game. And it's being called a reboot because it doesn't take place in the same universe. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I mean, it would have been cool to see what happens to the Ghostbusters post Ghostbusters the video game, but you know what? There's comic books from IDW for that, if you want to see what happens. I don't know if it's considered officially canon. I don't think so, but you never know. Excuse me. Still got this cough. It hasn't gone away yet. And so they're talking about this, and I've had people say, oh, it's pandering the feminists and all this other shit. Like, Man, when did we... I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe it's just my narrow perception of the world, but when did we start hating women this much? I mean, I really don't fucking get it. Like, why the hell not? I don't see the problem. It's an all-girl cast. Who cares? If it's funny, it's funny. If it's awesome, it's awesome. And I really want this to be successful because I think it'd be kind of funny to shut the haters up. Now, this is going to be coming out next year on July 22nd, and it's going to be going up against the new Power Rangers movie. So that'll be a very interesting weekend at the box office. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's a Comic-Con, actually. So I would be very interested to see what the presence at Comic-Con is going to be like this year, because they're going to be shooting in New York this summer. And I really hope we see a trailer for Super Bowl next year, or see some kind of a teaser before the end of the year. That would be pretty cool to me, and I think that's what everybody should be waiting to judge this on. I mean, honestly, Bill Murray's given his blessing, Dan Aykroyd, and I think Ernie Hudson has said something to the effect that that's positive. So I don't know, guys. I don't see why you're pissing and moaning over this. It's gonna be interesting. You're gonna see it. Who are you friggin' kidding? And one comment that particularly pissed me off, and I've drawn attention to this a few times. I posted on my Facebook about this, and one guy says, "No land whales, please." Motherfucker, if you were here, I would punch you in the back of the head right now, kick you down the stairs, and hope you land on something sharp on your nuts. Just grow the fuck up. And that generally goes to anybody who's opposed to this. I mean, come on, guys. Who cares? Moving on to a little bit more movie news. Fox has finally released a trailer for the new Fantastic Four movie. And that's coming out next year, too. And we haven't seen anything on it till now. Like, literally, this comes out in, like, August. So the clock's running down for this thing to get made. And you know what? I don't think I'm as opposed to it. I mean, it has this... the guy who directed is the same dude who did Chronicle, I think. And it does change some things. Like, it makes one of the more notable changes that people have been harping on is the fact that Johnny Storm is now black. Who cares? And it's kind of taking elements from the Ultimate Universe. It seems to be the vast majority where it's drawing a lot of its inspiration and whatnot. And you know what? It's got my attention. I am so intrigued by this that I'll probably see it opening day, actually. Like, it has this kind of hard sci-fi bent to it, and I kind of wonder if maybe that's not a bad approach to take with it. I've also seen people say that, oh, it's Fantastic Four, it can't be dark and moody. Well, there have been some dark and moody storylines in Fantastic Four, and I'm kind of curious to see how things are going to go with this. So it's got my attention. I'd like to see a little bit more from it, obviously. But from the trailer, it's got me interested. And I really hope you guys will go check it out and kind of, you know, go into it with an open mind. Once again, if you have any thoughts on this, 817-717-7202. Definitely want to hear from you. All right, so let's move a little away from movies and move into science. One of my favorite topics I get a chance to talk about on this show, because, hey, I get to sound smart for 20 minutes a week. So anyway, as you guys know, I love space. And it's generally accepted that the universe is about 15 billion years old, give or take. Well, recently, scientists at NASA, via the Kepler Space Telescope, have spotted planets around an orange dwarf star called Kepler-444. It's about 117 light years away, and it's about a quarter smaller than our sun in our solar system. And the reason this is a big deal is that these planets, these small rocky planets, that's important to remember, is that these planets are about 80% old as the universe itself. And we've always kind of assumed planets needed metal to form. Here, that may not necessarily be the case. because very early on in the universe, early stars were just made up of hydrogen and helium, and they made heavier elements inside the stars before they went supernova. So the next generation of stars that came after that emerged from what was left over, from like supernova remnants and gamma bursts and all that sort of crap. So it's, like I said, scientists have always assumed you need metal, like irons and whatnot, to form planets. Like I said, not necessarily. So it's kind of cool, the fact that there are planets around older stars like this, simply because this star, this orange dwarf, is because it's smaller than our sun, it takes three times, they can stay stable for up to 30 billion years. So that's three times as long as our sun. So if there is life out there in the universe, these kind of give them a long time to evolve. And I know I've talked about alien life on this show before. I totally believe in it. Are there any civilizations out there? I'm thinking probably a couple. But, you know, maybe we just missed them, so to speak, considering the vast cosmic distances for radio signals to travel, light, etc. You get the idea, science-heavy stuff. But I found that was amazingly cool, just the fact that we're even kind of looking at this. I mean, the fact that this planet is 11 billion years old, minus, you know, give or take about a billion or years old, and this is the oldest terrestrial planet, or these are the oldest terrestrial planets found in our galaxy. So, I don't know, man. That's really cool. I mean, I hope we can find out more as time goes on from the Kepler Space Telescope or from other scientific advances that will hopefully further our knowledge of the space program. Now, this is kind of cool. Picked up this story. Now, I can't draw. Not to save my damn life. Yet I know a number of talented artists, like my friend Mark Chan, Mike Laidman, and, you know, other people in my life, especially Marvin Law, right, who does a lot of my personal commissions. So there's this really cool device. It attaches to your wrist and puts this little thing around your finger. And what this was created by Sarabi Data of Copenhagen's Institute of Interactive Design. What this thing aims to do is to build muscle memory to teach you how to draw or to play piano. And I'm actually going to read you this little quotation from this article. It says, Data create a series of devices to teach people simple tasks like tapping a piano key or drawing basic shapes by using force haptic feedback. In other words, you don't control Data's machines, they control you. Data, a civil engineer by trade, began the project as a way to investigate how he could learn to play the piano with help of a machine. He wondered, if we gave more agency to the machines in our lives, could they help us improve certain skills by building muscle memory? Teacher, for example, is a machine that coaches you to draw by forcing your hand to perform certain motions. The thinking goes, repeat the task enough times and eventually your hand will remember how to do it on its own. His earlier force finger project similarly used force haptic feedback to control his index finger. A robotic lever raises and lowers the finger to hit certain keys on a piano. In both cases, the machines use your extremity like an inanimate tool, rather than a complex and capable mechanism that it is. This is really cool. I can think of so many applications for this, especially with the arts, that it's amazing. I mean, imagine learning how to play guitar like this. I mean, if you could have, like, basically skill wires. In fact, there's a technology remarkably similar in a role-playing game that I play called Shadowrun. And they have something called skill softs. And though this is kind of a long way off of that, but you'd put a chip in your head and you'd have these things throughout your body that, you know, here, you now know how to do 10 backflips, or here, you now know how to swim really good. It gave your body the muscle memory on a chip. But this would be the first step towards something like that without, you know, putting something in your head. But still, that's really friggin' cool. I mean, just imagining things like this and just, you know, if people wanted to do certain things, they could learn. This would expand out so much more. Like I said, the idea of learning how to draw. Man, if I could draw some of the cool things I have in my head, maybe this is the device to help me bring it out. Either way, friggin' cool. Whether this actually develops into anything more significant, I don't know, but I'll be keeping an eye on it, that's for sure. So, how would you like to live forever? Or as the song goes, who wants to live forever? If you know that reference, give me the prize. So anyway, scientists from Stanford's Medical Center have devised a really cool technique for extending the length of human telomeres. This breakthrough could eventually result in therapies that treat a lot of age-related diseases. Stuff like diabetes, heart disease, and eventually make us live longer. Now, what those things are, they're actually critical protective caps that are located on the tips of chromosomes. A good way to think about them is think about those little pieces of plastic that are on the ends of shoelaces. Without those tips, they fall apart, right? And that's what happens to chromosomes over time. So human telomeres, which are about 8,000 to 10,000 nucleotides long, get shorter and shorter with each cell division. Over time, they reach a critical length and bang, you're dead. Or, you know, they simply die. But either way, just the because you get older, your body eventually loses that ability to regenerate. But what if we could turn back the internal clock? So this is incredible. Now they found a way to turn back the clock by about 1,000 nucleotides. So think about that. So basically it's a 10% increase in length. That's pretty significant. However, though, under the current treatment, it only lasts about 48 hours. And it does a lot of stuff I really can't understand. So I'm actually going to post the article in the actual website post if you want to find out a little bit more about this, because I think it's incredibly cool. Just the fact that we could live longer, healthier lives, basically stop a lot of these diseases that are killing us, I think that's amazing. Now, one thing to look at it from the extreme is, let's say, for example, people do live longer. People do live longer, healthier lives. How do you control the population? Because there isn't enough for everybody. Just something to think about. I'm neither here nor there on it. Just think about it. Continuing on with health sciencey stuff. Well, I guess not really. This is really cool. So it turns out early humans may have actually interbred with Neanderthals about 55,000 years ago. And typically it's been, you know, people have agreed that modern Europeans must have mated with cavemen at some point in the past. We don't know when or where, but hey, we're presuming somebody hooked up with Fred Flintstone and, you know, his wife Wilma. So, regardless, now they found a partial skull, in this cave in northern Israel back in 2008 in the Mano Cave. And it's been under a microscope pretty much ever since. So, what they've been doing, according to this analysis they've done by Case Western Reserve University, Bruce Latimer, in conjunction with Tel Aviv's University Israel's Hershkovitz, I'm pretty sure I brutalized your name, dude, I'm really sorry, early humans could have met and interbred in the Levant region about 55,000 years ago. So that's about 10,000 years earlier than people were saying previously. What makes this compelling, though, is that there's actual tangible evidence in the form of this skull fragment. The discovery suggests that the Mano people are the earlier predecessors of the earlier Paleolithic populations of Europe, and that modern humans have coexisted with Neanderthals in the Near East for potentially thousands of years. So the fact that this skull kind of has like a hybrid of human and Neanderthal interbreeding, that's pretty friggin' cool. I really hope something more comes out of this, because I'm a huge fan of, like, evolutionary science. I remember when I first learned about Afropithecus africanus, or you may know her as Lucy, when they discovered her in Africa, I think in the 80s, that, you know, just it set off this entire chain of people just talking about it. So I don't know, man. I think that'd be pretty cool. I mean, obviously, believe if you want to believe in evolution, believe it. If you don't, you don't, right? I'm just saying, watch Bill Nye and that other dude. And, you know, that should help me make up your mind. Or maybe it won't. Either way, ask questions. That's why science is there. So, that's pretty much going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. Thanks for sticking around, guys, for 8 years. My God. The only thing I can think I've done for 8 years is something I'd rather not admit to. But, hey, we all do it. There will be a new topic show tomorrow. The long-awaited 3DS XL review will be out on Sunday, as tomorrow will be the topic show, and today we've had Altered Geek and this go up today, so I want to make sure everybody has a chance to catch up. But let's just say you should be checking out a new 3DS XL as soon as you can. If you haven't placed a pre-order, get on that. Also, public service announcement, the new wave of Amiibos comes out next Friday. If anybody can find me an Ike or a Lucario's exclusive to Toys R Us, I'd be really thankful. So you can email me directly, mike@thisweekingeek.net. Help a brother out. Amiibos are like crack. Anyway, I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live free or die hard, and Amiibos, they're a hell of a drug.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.